Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, Jesse Toppy in for James Hamm. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. That show is going to be pure electricity today for 4 hours. I cannot wait. Make sure you're locked in here to ESPN 1320, whether you're on the radio on 1320 AM, whether you're on the free Odyssey app, which I highly recommend having downloaded on your phone, your favorite ESPN 1320. That way, if you are listening on the radio, you can jump out and you turn it on your phone and you can still listen to the program. And of course, everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, and everybody in the chatty house. We appreciate you all as well.
Jake Gooden's pulling up later, by the way, too, so make sure you do. D'Lon Casey.
Facts.
Yeah.
Can't wait for them to ask him about.
That's going to be hilarious.
Telling everybody in the locker room. Yeah.
Just like, because now we'll get to hear Jake's reaction just to like, just to everyone just reacting off him, I guess.
He's the best.
And what that was like.
All right. I want to get back into the game last night, though.
Yeah, you got
some
thoughts.
The Kings lost. All right, look. And this is big picture. This is not just last night, but this is what, when I say there's something rotten here, I don't mean necessarily personally, like there's a bad person. I mean this just from a team building and basketball standpoint. There's something that's just not working. There's something that just is not right with this collection of players. And you have no choice. And Kenny laid this out on the handoff yesterday. He laid this out and said, this is a Domas game. This is a Domantas Sabonis spot. If you're going to be the guy that we have all caped for, while everybody across the league has tried to tear down Domantas Sabonis for the last 2.5 years, if you're that guy that we all think you are, you need to go have a huge game tonight. Go show that you're that guy. And Domantas Sabonis responded with 11 points, 13 boards, 5 assists, 5 turnovers, and he was 5 of 13 for the game. But through three quarters, he was 7 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, with 5 turnovers and 3 of 9 from the field. He was terrible.
Yeah, nowhere to be found. In like, that's inexcusable if you're the guy.
And that's what, and you can't
do that.
There are going to be people who say, well, that's not him. That's not, he's not a 1A. That's not his game. He's not a 1B.
Yes, no.
He's not a two either.
He's not a two. He's not.
This is not a problem with Domas the player. Okay, let's like in a vacuum, you will take a player with his production on your team any day. The problem is he is being paid like a 1A. He is due next year, $43.6 million. The year after that, $46.7 million. The year after that, $49.9 million. This is not to pocket watch. This is to show, hey, they're paying this guy to be that dude. To be that guy who in games like that against the Dallas Mavericks, where, man, it's Anthony Davis, and it's Daniel Gafford, and it's Derek Lively, and, man, you know what? We need a big man who's going to go in there, and he's going to have a great game. And he stunk. You can't have that. And this is after he was good in the play-in loss to the Pelicans last year, to be sure. But he was not very good in that series against Golden State. And the knock on him is, hey, when you get into these big games, can you trust him? You can't.
We know what Domantas. Dude, we know who Domantas Sabonis is.
Yeah, if he's making $20 million a year, you're cool with it because now you're able to build around him in a certain way. He needs such a specific type of team and player and roster around him to maximize his abilities. And when you're paying him for it's the Brock Purdy conversation. Well, you can't pay Brock Purdy $60 million because you need to be able to have these pieces around him to maximize him. And if you're paying him $60 million, it's really hard to put those pieces around him. It's this. It's they are being handcuffed by, at least partially, financially handcuffed by this contract for a player who gives you 7, 8, and 4 with 5 turnovers on 3 of 9 shooting in the minutes that mattered.
I don't know if we've said it officially or anything like that, but I'm ready to trade Domantas Sabonis at this point this offseason.
Andrew in the chatty house
brings it up. Might be close to a Levine size untradeable contract.
I don't know if
Domas's contract is that bad, but at this point, it's like, what does the rest of the league think about him? Because you're paying top dollar for someone who isn't a top tier player.
That's it.
Like, he's just not. It's fine. He's a great player, no doubt.
He's
great at what he does.
Yes.
But for what you're paying for, he's not that.
Yes. You cannot have a player like this going for 11, 13, and 5 with 5 turnovers in that game. You can't.
And if, like, what am I keeping you on this team for? Like, I'm paying you to be someone that you can't be, so what are we even doing at this point? That's hurting me more than anything.
Right. And we've talked about this before. Okay, so for Domantas Sabonis to be effective, because that's been the argument. Hey, they haven't put the right pieces around him. Okay, so you need a shot-blocking stretch 5? Dude, there's like 5 of those in the league. Uh-huh. And they all get paid. Because the Kings, for whatever reason, won't draft Khalil Ware types. So you need that. And then, okay, you need a point guard, specifically one who's really good at the pick and roll, who also can shoot. And then also, you need 3-and-D guys around him constantly. That's okay. But he was paid to be the guy who solved problems, not created them.
We talked about this guy being an Anthony Davis type.
Yes.
One of the best at his position. Joel Embiid.
Yep.
You heard it so many times. He's Nikola Jokic light.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And he never showed up. Those guys impact. Joel Embiid can't stay healthy anymore. That's fine. Before, he had impact on wins. Yep. Same with Anthony Davis. Same with anyone else at that position. Like Bam Adebayo is helping out with the Heat. He just does not impact wins the way that you pay him to.
He
feels like the, and I know this gets tossed around as a bad thing. I don't think it is. He's like the best glue guy in the league.
Yeah, I think you're right. That always has like a negative connotation because glue guys are always like the Jose Alvarados, right?
Uh-huh.
Domas is so clearly better than that. Domas is one of the 25 best players in the league.
Yes, but he's not a guy. I'm gonna add you here because like you're kind of the missing piece. Not because I'm gonna build around you, because I kind of need you to connect everything here.
And that's it. They have to, with this contract, they have to build around him. And he showed you last night that he's not that. And again, I struggle with this because he's existing in this massive gray area that we don't like to live in when talking about players in sports. But he's a very good player being paid like a superstar.
I can pull up, but
real quick, the players on his contract, the best players that are making this type of money, and I know there's a lot of guys making more now because contracts, but the players on this type of contract who got those deals a couple years ago are all players that end of game, you get the ball, you go score. This guy might get me 50 tonight. This is the player that I'm going to rely on. Your Jason Tatum's, your Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's, your Luka Doncic's, your LeBron James, your Steph Curry's. It's that. He was paid to be that type of player, and we have enough of a sample size through 9 years in the NBA, and he is a 28, going on 29-year-old.
Yeah.
There's not room for growth. This is just what he is. The production is great, but you can't rely on him to be the player that you need him to be. What do you got?
Our guy James Hamm tweeted a quote from Domas. Exit interviews going on now. Domantas Sabonis said he loves it in Sacramento and he wants to stay. He also wants to know what the direction of the franchise is. He also said he was not consulted on the decision to part ways with Monty McNair.
He wants to know the direction of the franchise. Join the club, brother.
Yeah. I would love that you contributed to that.
Yep.
You contributed to this mess. They put it on. You were supposed to be the guy to take it home, as was Fox. They got Fox out of here.
Yep.
You are one of the reasons why this is like this. You don't need to seek clarity. You are part of the issue. Like, you did not get the job done.
Yep.
I don't get the whole, I need to seek clarity. No, they need to seek clarity from you.
That's it.
What the hell was that yesterday? What was that Warriors playoff series? Why is it when we need you to step up, you don't?
There were moments last night where he legitimately looked like he wanted no parts of being in that basketball game.
Yeah, like, no, you're not going to ask me for clarity.
No.
You scored 11 points yesterday.
Yep. And looked scared to shoot the ball. There was one point where he gets it on the block with like 3 seconds on the shot clock. Bro, put your shoulder into somebody and go up. And he takes a step out and he's looking for where to pass. Like,
go be a guy. I'm not going to tell him.
And people will argue, well, that's just his game. I know.
Then that's not good enough here. That doesn't work here.
I agree. If that's just his game, if his thing is going to be rebounds and passing,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, in the NBA, I know we talk on this show a lot about ball movement and about defense and about all those little things, the hustle plays, all that. But Kenny is right on this point that the game is about putting the ball in the basket.
In crunch time especially.
And if you're not going to do that, you can't be on the contract that he's on. He got paid to be that dude, and he's just clearly not that dude. And he's not a bad player.
He's not, yeah. That's not what we're saying at all. But he's also not a franchise player either.
Right. At least not in my estimation, certainly not in your estimation.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what TC thinks. He's on the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Phone lines are wide open. It's on you guys here in the second hour. Go ahead, TC.
Hey, what's up, Jesse? Hey, Jesse and Kyle, what's up, bros?
What's up, TC? Up, man?
Hey, so listen, I'm with this. Well, let's start with Domas first, right, because I'm going to take a different approach. Domas, bro, y'all already know how I felt about Clarity. And I spoke about that this last couple of since we heard that. Domas, bro, you're on the trading block, bro. If you're going to be here, you're going to be here. Other than that, bro, you can go. Period. Yep. The game last night from all players' standpoint, bro, we need you to stand up. Like you said, Kyle, I was watching my eyes tell me the truth. Bro didn't even want no parts of that game last night. He's yelling at everybody, crying, turning over the ball. Like, did nobody want no part of that game, bro? So to me, everybody's on the table, bro. If it was me, I'm packaging Zach, Domas, and DeMar. And all together in one package and seeing what I can get, bro, period. As far as Scott Perry, bro, we in a good position with Scott Perry. We ain't got to deal with the whole summer with the nonsense. We can let this dude orchestrate the trades he needs to. He was here for a couple months, but him and Vardy were good up under the back. Let's not forget that this is the guy who brought Fox to town. Let's not forget he drafted Durant, bro, Aaron Gordon. We can keep going, bro, about the track record over there in New York with Tibbs, R.J. Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley. Like, dude, he got plugs around the league. When he calls, bro, they listen, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Scott Perry's the guy, man. So I'm not doom and gloom. I'm ready, bro. But Domas, Zach, and DeMar, bro, they all could be on the trading block if it's for me.
Yep, no doubt. Thanks, TC.
I agree with that.
And I think everybody has to be, there has to be no, and this is not a need to get rid of everyone conversation. I think they need to get rid of a lot of people.
Yeah.
And make some substantial moves to alter the direction or, excuse me, find a direction, pick a track and get on it. And maybe Scott Perry's the guy to do that. I hope he is. And I hope the ownership group gets out of the way. But I also think that everybody needs to be on the there's nobody on the team right now that I'm like, can't touch him. Maybe Keon Ellis because he's cheap.
Yeah.
But even that, if a team calls and wants to give you a first round pick for Keon, sure, man. Like, why not? There's no foundation. There's nothing here that I go, what's the core of this team? Like, you can put together a theoretical core,
mm-hmm.
but a core of Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray and Zach LaVine? No thanks, dude.
Part of that core is because you think you can't trade one of the guys on that three.
In fact, let's talk about that core three.
Mm-hmm.
We've already given you Domantas Sabonis' stat line. 7 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 turnovers on 3 of 9 shooting through 3 quarters. And then he put up some 4 points and 5 boards and an assist in the fourth quarter when it was out of hand. Zach LaVine, who played last night, through 3 quarters, 15 points, 2 rebounds, 7 assists, 6 of 12 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3, 3 turnovers. He finished with 20 points, 3 boards, 9 assists. Why is he only shooting it 12 times for 3 quarters? Why is Zach LaVine taking on a tertiary role in the offense?
$1 million question, Kyle. We've been asking it since he got here.
The $50 million question.
Career year, this, this, and that, and that never arrived to Sacramento.
And it's not, and again, this is not a Zach LaVine is a bad player take. This is a, where was Zach LaVine last year? The Zach LaVine that was putting up 40 a week ago. Where was he? Where was that player?
Trista Crick said it a few weeks ago on D'Lo and Casey. It was kind of harsh at the time, but asked her about, Zach LaVine to the Kings, this, this, and that. Yeah, he's not going to show up when you need him. Trista was right.
She was spot on.
She was spot
Keegan on. Murray. 6 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists on 2 of 6 shooting and 1 of 4 from 3 with a turnover through 3 quarters. He finished the game 9 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists on 3 of 9 with 3 turnovers. That's
the
third piece of this. That's the third piece of this hypothetical core.
Yep. But he can't get going if you have too many guys out there because he's not aggressive enough. So do with that what you want.
That's what they tell me. That's where I'm saying this is, there is something, this group of personalities, let's forget the basketball acumen for a second. This group of personalities is clearly not correct.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to be on the table here. There has to be a complete overhaul of whatever it is they're doing because this isn't it. This team was built to, oh, just get to the playoffs. And they didn't even win a play-in game. It's a mess. And we'll keep talking about it. Jesse Tapia is there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil behind the glass. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. I want to remind everybody real quick, before we get to the phone calls, that we have our draft party for the Professional Football League, the major Professional Football League draft party.
It's true. It's the number one league where they play football.
To Cache Creek. We're doing 4 to 5. James and I are going 4 to 5 p.m. We're doing a one-hour draft show, NFL draft. We're doing a one-hour NFL draft show, and then we're going to go watch the draft at Cache Creek. It's going to be a great time. We're going to go to the Elevate Lounge. We're going to have drinks and food. We're going to watch the draft.
We'll hang out with the insiders.
It's going to be a really good time. Yeah, come hang out with us.
I would love to be there, but I'll be running the board for you guys while you guys are out there.
Dang. It's going to be very, I plan on being very informal.
Yeah. We appreciate you for that, though, Jesse. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Salute. So want to make sure that everybody remembers we've got that going on. All right, the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Kyle, I understand, man. Come on, you're putting all this on Sabonis, man.
No, I'm not. Turn it down. No, I'm not.
Oh, no.
This is not all on Sabonis. We talked about Zach LaVine. We talked about Keegan Murray. We've talked about Vivek Ranadive and Monty McNair and Doug Christie and the coaching staff. This is not all on Domas. Domas sucked last night. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, but put him out there. You say he's not a one. He's not this. He's not that.
He's not.
Put him out there and see how fast the Warriors nab him up, and they'll take him. And he'll go to Golden State and play with Draymond, Jimmy, and Steph, and you'll see what Sabonis can do. He'll rebound.
No, go ahead, Joe.
No, keep cooking. Go ahead. You're cooking.
But Sabonis needs a point guard.
I would agree with you.
A point guard. He's a pick and roll guy. You don't have a point guard. That's what you're going to get from Sabonis last night. And LaVine, the owner loves him. He's this big time player. He did the same thing in Chicago during the playing game. He poops the bed. The brights get light. LaVine disappears. Last night, DeMar played well, but I don't give him good on defense. Nope. He was terrible. He wouldn't go out, play no defense last night. Every time down the court, we had a chance to get back into it, they would drive the lane, DeMar would foul.
Easy work. Yep, no doubt. Thanks for the call, Joe.
Yeah
but he proved my point.
Yeah, like you said.
Send him to the Warriors where he could be by Draymond Green and Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler and
like
then Hill Cook.
Like we could be the fourth guy. Yes, like we've said.
Yes, he's absolutely right. Did we gloss over Zach LaVine and Keegan Murray being ass last night?
I don't think we did. I mean, let's see.
Someone in the chat here said that, and I just want to make sure that we're not glossing over that.
Ron Olcher says you barely said anything because you love Keegan.
That's facts.
Yeah.
I just said we're huge Keegan Murray guys.
Yeah.
We love Keegan so much. He was actually, the thing is defensively, Keegan was fine.
Yeah. It's just not enough.
They don't have enough of that. The problem with Keegan, and the problem with Keegan last night specifically, is after his rookie year, we were talking, wow, man, 20 points a game, starts getting more threes up, he starts developing that handle a little bit, that shot creation. We're talking Kawhi. He might be baby Kawhi. And he's not.
Yeah, he's not even Chris Middleton.
There was a hope that for me anyway, that we would see Keegan grow into this player this year where, okay, he struggled a little bit last year, but that's that sophomore slump. All right, he bounces back in year three. And it's the disappointing thing for me is I had such a high ceiling for Keegan. I had such high hopes for him. I wanted the Kings to draft him at four. He was the guy. I wanted no parts of Jaden Ivey, who's I know he had an injury, but he was playing really well in Detroit this year. But I wanted Keegan. And I was a believer in Keegan, and to an extent I still am. But we've talked about this before. It's not Kawhi now. It's something less than that. And I think in these spots where the lights get bright and there's nothing happening and you turn to Keegan Murray and you go, hey, can you give us something? And he just doesn't give you anything. It's just disappointing.
Well, yeah, and then Batman Fastlane. Y'all do know Keegan had a 7-foot defensive player of the year on him. I'm assuming the 7-foot right there. Like, that's fine and all that.
Yeah.
Keegan Murray was drafted to be a pillar of this franchise.
Yeah, this is a pattern.
Yes, he was here to, obviously, their one's gone down. He was here to, like, take this with Fox and Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great player, but he's also not what they drafted him to be, what they needed him to be.
I'm also not going to be attached to any player on a team that went 40-42.
Yeah, like, that's another thing.
And this is not, man, Keegan was bad last night. We've seen this happen with Keegan time and 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 time again. Waiting for this breakout. And man, he's almost 25. It's like, hey, this might just be him. And that's not a bad thing. I've said this before. There is a spot, like, Keegan Murray is a starter on a good team.
Yeah, he's not.
I think he can be that. But it's not, wow, hey, he can be the second scorer on a good team. Like, no, he's probably, like, better as your fourth or fifth guy. And that's not bad. That's not a bad thing. It's just way below the ceiling I'd set for him.
The Kings are a team full of third and fourth options right now.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Third and fourth are worse. And then Zach LaVine, man, I just...
It's been 11...
It's the efficient...
What more do you want us to say about Zach LaVine other than, like, what we said already? I didn't like the move when they made it, when they traded for him.
Yep.
Zach LaVine is not someone who's ever taken his team two wins in his career. He's been in the league 11 years. He's played 4 playoff games, I believe I saw yesterday. Zach LaVine, that is what we have seen forever. What do you want with that?
Man.
Like, what did you expect is my point.
Disappointing or is it?
I mean, it's disappointing given the year he was having predictable coming into it, but like, yeah. Like that's just Zach LaVine. You traded for an 11-year player who did what that 11-year player has done over his entire career.
We got a 1-minute video from James Hamm of Sabonis on the podium.
Okay. Go ahead and make that full screen, the video.
Producer Joe in the building.
There you go. Producer Joe, go ahead and play that.
Morning, Domas. If you could just describe the past 12 hours since the loss, the playoff loss, and just what that's been like with the departure of Monty and now the hiring of Scott.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. I'm hearing news as the meetings go on. I don't have much to say right now. Just trying to take it all in.
Domas, when you look at your future, it's been widely reported that you want to know some answers on where the direction goes within this organization. What factors are you thinking about and considering when you're asking about being in Sacramento long term?
First of all, I want to say I love it here. You know, I want to stay here. I want to win here. I also do want to know what's going to happen. You know, all these things are happening so quick. You know, I want to get together with the new people, whoever comes in, you know, and really try to get this right, you know, and get it back to where it was year one.
That's great. It.
Yeah, cool.
I think that's kind of. I do legitimately think he's still processing.
Yeah.
What?
Absolutely. But, yeah. He doesn't want to say the wrong thing right now either.
I get it.
Yeah.
All
right. It's exit interview stuff, whatever.
Yeah. It would have been wild if he's like, I don't want to be here.
Would have respected it.
Yeah.
Be straight up with me.
Yeah. You got Daniel on line 2 still?
Yes, sir.
All right, Daniel wants to talk about Zach LaVine. Go ahead, Daniel. You're on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. What's up?
Talking about Scott Perry. I don't share the optimism that TC had. Scott Perry, I was surfing X, and he's on X talking about LaVine. He doesn't like LaVine as a player. He doesn't think he's a winner. So I think we're going to find out pretty quick who runs the whole show. Is it Vivek or is it going to be Perry? because also Sam Amick this morning was saying that Rich Paul was in the game yesterday. He was sitting in Fox's wife's old seat.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that Levine is going to be up for a contract extension. If that happens, you know who's running the show.
Yep. I think that's a great indicator. Thanks, Daniel. Yeah, I think that's probably right. If they're extending Zach LaVine, because to me at this point, if you can't trade him, you let him play out the contract and figure it out.
You're extending Zach LaVine. What are? I'm not even. Daniel's just saying things. I'm not even gonna put that out there. I don't.
If they,
there's no, nah.
If James has brought up the idea of like tearing up his contract and giving him an extension that's like a lower dollar,
to make it easier to trade, maybe.
Well, I mean, easier to trade, but also it's what we just talked about with Domas. If Zach LaVine is making $25 million a year, you feel way better about him, right?
Yeah.
Because now you're going, hey, we're going to get these runs where he shoots 97% from three for 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and he carries us to a couple of wins. But that way, if he disappears in a playoff game or in a play-in game,
it's justifiable at this point.
It's just like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, right. Because you in this scenario, you ideally have a very clear one. And that's something that Howard Beck talked about on the Real Ones podcast last season. We actually had him on this show to talk about this. This is Howard Beck from The Ringer. And he talked about how one of the key components to a championship team is having a very clear pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
There's the dude, right? Let's talk Celtics, defending champs.
Yes.
Jason Tatum's the dude.
Yes.
And then it's Jaylen Brown. And then it's Kristaps Porzingis.
Whoever's got the third option that
then
day.
Right. And then it's like there's a very clear like 1-2 pecking order, yep. at the top. And then the Celtics are probably a bad example because they're so talented down the list.
Thank you.
But the Kings don't have that.
Not at all.
Well, DeMar was the clear one.
Yeah.
But at this stage of his career and in this NBA, that's not
what you signed him to be.
Right. Right. So
I'm not
super optimistic about the players on this team on their current contracts, because look, the reason we're bringing up the financial aspect of this is because there's a salary cap they have to work with, and Domantas Sabonis and Zach LaVine's contracts are such that A, they might be tough to trade,
mm-hmm.
and B, you might just kind of be stuck with them making a combined $80 to $90 million.
I don't like that, Kyle.
It's tough.
Don't like it one bit.
Dude, I just want to hear some silver lining.
Not today.
Silver lining?
Gosh,
not today.
I know.
Kyle did that to start the show.
I know.
DeMar was good last night.
Yeah, DeMar was good.
Kings fired someone. And GM really fast.
I'm fun, and the Kings fans are fun.
Yeah, you are.
But this is just really gloomy. This sucks.
It's gonna, like, it's, well, it's just part of, also, like, I guess there's a silver lining, and you reach the end.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say I have silver. One good takeaway from last night, it's that the season is over.
Well, not that, but just more so that, like, now we know this team needs to move forward. Like, now you need to rebuild. Like, now you've reached the end of running it back, whatever, bringing back Kevin Herter sometimes, blah, 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 whatever we've talked about the past 3 years. Now we know, like, it's over. Time to move this forward now.
I think there's part. I think
if you want a silver lining, I guess that's it.
And the reality, if we're going to deal in reality here for a few minutes, the reality is they're not going to trade everyone. They're not going to. A large portion of this roster will be back next year. What Scott Perry's task is, assuming he's running the show, what the Kings' task is okay, let's assume for a moment that Domantas Sabonis and Zach LaVine are on the roster next year. I think they will be. You know you have those two players. Don't make a face.
I'm not making a face. Radio doesn't know I'm making a face. Say your point.
They have those two players. What you have to do now, and I think Keegan, while we're talking Keegan, I'm trying silver linings here, Joe. Keegan, if he's your fifth option defensive stopper, Keon Ellis gonna be a legitimate 3-and-D guard. Awesome. You now need to figure out how to best supplement the Zach LaVine, Domantas Sabonis duo, because whether you like it or not, that might just be your top two dudes. Whether you want it to be or not, you may not have a choice. So instead of just throwing their hands up and going, well, let's try and piece this together and try and make the playoffs, like, no, try and build around it. Instead of trying to just...
You can Memphis Grizzlies this thing?
Maybe.
they're skipping a couple steps. They're just saying, let's just make it to the playoffs, but first we need baby steps to get there, obviously.
You were supposed to take the baby steps to, like, last.
Exactly.
That's, and that's it. Yeah. Exactly. Domantas Sabonis is going to be 28 and Zach LaVine's 30.
Yep.
You don't have time to do those, but at the same time, I think trying to shoehorn DeMar DeRozan type players, guys who don't fit, you need good players for sure, but you need to make sure they fit. You need a clear vision of what the team is supposed to be. DeMar DeRozan was not a fit. No matter how many articles I read, no matter how many videos I watched breaking down how DeMar DeRozan's going to fit perfectly in the Kings offense, it was not.
It wasn't, but also, if you were bringing him in, you needed to make other moves to make him a fit. Like, you just kind of brought in DeMar's, like, all right, we got him.
Yeah.
We're good, guys. Let's go now.
Yeah, the guy from the Kendrick Lamar video, he's here now. That's not the... There needs to be... Okay, if these are the building blocks, again, whether you like it or not, if these are the building blocks, there has to be some vision for how do we maximize what those two players are doing. Because they're here.
Wait, before we get out, we got a couple minutes. Dirk in the chat says, Doug Christie didn't develop anything with his entire team all year. He can't develop these guys moving forward. I don't necessarily agree with that, but how do you feel about Doug?
I'm of the mind that I'm not entirely out on Doug Christie. I have major questions about him.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be, and I thought this with the GM search, and they didn't do it, which terrifies me about their coaching search. You absolutely cannot, if you're Vivek Ranadive, say, I want Doug to be the coach, so Doug's going to be... I mean, you can. You own the team. Shout out to you. You can do that.
Well, we know who they want.
Right. Sam Amick and Anthony Slater wrote in The Athletic, Vivek is the Doug Christie guy. He wants Doug Christie to be the coach.
Yeah.
So that's okay. But to me, the proper way to do this is you say, Scott Perry, you're the general manager, vice president of basketball operations, whatever he's going to be. You're the front office lead. You interview. We're going to mandate that you interview Doug. Interview him. But do a wide-ranging coaching search. And don't just make it the big names. Don't just make it Mike Budenholzer and who else is out there that just got fired?
Taylor Jenkins, Mike Malone.
Taylor Jenkins, Mike Malone. Don't just make it those big names. Call David Adelman.
We'll get some Will Hardy times, yes.
David Adelman in here.
That's where the league is moving, by the way.
Yes.
Like, Mike Malone, Taylor Jenkins, Mike Brown, Mike Budenholzer, all same type of old school coach.
And you see the stories about them are all not exactly the same, but very similar.
They all have similar points.
It's the same basis,
basically.
They get to the end of their rope with players.
Mm-hmm.
Or players get to the end of their ropes with those coaches.
Yep.
And I don't think... that just going, yeah, Doug's the coach. That to me is not, that's the, what did Kirk say yesterday? The mirage of transparency.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mirage of stability.
Yeah.
That's, oh, look, we didn't make any changes. Like, no, because you didn't try. You didn't go see if Doug was the best option. You just decided he was.
I like Doug Christie. I can learn to like Scott Perry, but there's also, you need to do the process the right way. That's just, that stuff matters.
For good
organizations, and just, you get in the habit of just doing things the right way. Because if not, you end up with all this mess that we get to talk about today.
Yep. You need to be identifying good coaches. You need to be bringing those coaches in, interviewing them. And even if you're interviewing them, the 49ers did this with Brandon Staley a couple years ago. Last year.
One of theirs.
They brought him in for a defensive coordinator interview. And they basically just talked football with him and got his ideas about their defense, and he wound up staying on the coaching staff. It was kind of a mess. But that whole idea of, hey, let's bring in coaches and let's bring in GMs and let's just talk hoop and let's figure out kind of the landscape of the league and the way they're going and the way is Doug really the best option for this team? Because, man, we really liked that assistant coach from Oklahoma City. Boy, he had some great ideas for this team. If you don't do the interviews, you're never going to know. And you're crossing your fingers at like, man, I hope this is right.
You're leaving every stone left unturned.
You're at a buffet and you go, I'm eating that pizza and I'm not checking anything else. All right. And meanwhile, everybody's like, hey, man, did you try the pasta? It's so good.
Yeah.
Man, did you try the
could be better
chicken
for you.
Tenders?
Just do
a
things.
A buffet chicken tender is crazy. Don't
I was trying to help you out. But yeah, there's like you got to do things the right way. Finally, but I don't know. Like, fired one guy one night and hired the next guy the next morning.
Yeah, man. And here we are. The handoff's coming up next. We'll get D'Lo or KC, maybe both. We'll get their thoughts on this debacle, and then they will take over at noon right here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Jesse Toppy in for James Hamm, who is down at Golden 1 Center covering exit interviews. Joe Brazil is here doing a bunch of stuff behind the scenes. I'm Kyle Madsen. We'll be back in a second.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Jesse Toppy in for James Hamm. James Hamm down at Golden 1 Center covering exit interviews for the Kings today. He'll be back tomorrow. Joe Brazil is here. Damian Marling is also here because it's the handoff. D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. Yikes, man.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I don't think it could have gone worse last night.
Or could it have not gone better?
Hmm.
That was the perfect end of the season.
It was. I think I agree.
Like, it's the most... fairy tales are few and far between, right? Most stories tie up the way that they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
The way last night's game went into the post game stuff into this morning is exactly the way the season should have gone. It's exactly the way the season should have ended. And I'll tell you this, and we're going to talk a lot about this at 12, and I'll probably repeat this, but it was very obvious when we walked in the building. And I'm walking down the stairs talking to Kyle Madsen, who's actually nowhere near me because he veered off somewhere else.
And
it
was
a very bizarre moment.
I was talking to Damian.
For reasons known to no one, Kyle and I enter the building together. And I'm like, all right, we'll go down to the court. And I'm just like talking and we're just continuing the conversation we were having. And I turn around and he's not there. And I look around and I walk back up the stairs and he is seven aisles down. And I'm like, oh.
I was going to the elevator.
I was going down to the court. So I was talking to my imaginary friend, Kyle.
Yeah,
how long were you talking to this imaginary person for?
I was halfway down the stairs before I realized Kyle wasn't there. So it was a solid 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah, I'd probably gone four or five sections. I'm not going
to
say what
that's enough to notice.
About.
Hey, that guy's talking to himself over there.
Yeah.
Dude, just
yeah,
yapping.
That's tough.
I'm just
yeah,
like,
that's tough.
Like, yeah, so it's good, blah, 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 blah. Just to, and then I turn. Where did he go?
Yeah, it's very odd, very odd. But once I got to the floor, started visiting with different people in different walks of life, it was very obvious. Monty McNair stood next to us for 10 minutes talking to someone. It's very obvious. Two things. One, Monty McNair knew he was being fired, or mutually, he knew he was not going to be the general manager moving forward. He knew that.
He knew he was going to be mutually parted.
My last day here.
It was also, and this is definitely hindsight, because I thought, all right, well, the name we kept hearing, I left the arena after halftime thinking, okay, Monty's going to get fired, and they're really leaning heavy towards Scott Perry. That's going to be the angle tomorrow. Hindsight, they knew they were hiring Scott Perry. The stuff we were hearing wasn't chatter. It was what was happening.
It was the actual plan.
And again, I didn't recognize it until the Shams tweet went out like, oh, they already had this in the works.
Yeah.
I said yesterday, like, yo, Joe Dumars is like, it feels a little sneaky. Like Joe Dumars comes across a little sneaky to me. And we like talked it out, and Casey was like, this is just kind of how the game works. When someone's getting fired, there's rarely an expansive search.
Mm-hmm.
People use those words all the time. I think Ishbia just used them.
I think I used them 20 minutes ago.
And expansive. Those are so rare.
Yeah.
I think they're even rarer in the front office.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's, and this is the part that I can't get over. Whose idea was this? Because to me, it's one guy's.
There's one guy.
And it's not the one you're thinking of.
Oh.
You want to go ahead? You want to say a name?
Or? It's Vlade. Oh. Think about this for a second. Vlade's been around the organization.
I'm going to go lay down.
Vlade's been around the organization for months. Vlade arguably never stopped being around the organization. Vlade's biggest knock was he doesn't know anyone. Like, he doesn't know how to reach out to other teams in the league. He doesn't know how to reach out to other people. He doesn't have those relationships. So they bring in Scott Perry to help out and be an advisor before that New York Knicks job becomes available. Vlade called the one goddamn guy he knew. And it was Scott Perry. Now, I like Scott Perry. I think Scott Perry has great relationships across the league. He is a very, very well-respected NBA executive. Cool. Like, I'm fine with it. Like, I'm fine with it. I just want Kings fans to be able to process this process. 6 degrees of Vlade is what's happening within this organization. And Vlade, I read Sam's article. Well, Vlade, you know, he's not going to take any, you know, he's around in an informal capacity. Having guys around in an informal, I'll give anyone in this organization, anyone in that PR department, anyone who monitors this show to run them and tell them everything we're saying, I give them an opportunity to tell me that that's wrong. Mm-hmm. Tell me my idea, my thought that Vlade Divac made this call, that Vlade Divac initiated this call. Tell me I'm wrong. Every one of them has my phone number. Tell me that's wrong. It's not. There's no way it's wrong. He called the one guy he knew.
Oof.
And it doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean that Scott Perry is the wrong hire. It doesn't mean any of that.
Right.
It just means we need to process the process.
Yes.
This organization is ass. Unwashed ass.
Disgusting.
Unwashed.
We always say ass. Ass can be beautiful.
No one's ever been like,
ass
oh.
can be wonderful.
But yeah, but no one's ever been like, oh, like use it in a nice term though.
No, well, okay, well, we need to start. No, the A.
Man.
A.
Because
Williams was ass last night.
I'm a boy. Boy. I mean, look, hey, pardon me. Miss P. Ms. MAC-10, Jill,
mm-hmm.
Katrina, the ladies of the, excuse sure. me for
all due respect.
How many? Oh man, that ass boy. How many times? Right?
I was gonna say,
says that in a bad way. No one ever says that in a bad way.
The only time I said it is in a bad way, though.
I vote we start changing the use of the word ass and make it mean positive. Yo, this show today. Yo, Jesse was ass when he was cooking to Montez Sabonis. Oh my gosh.
See, it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. It's borders. It doesn't work at all.
It's the is and was. That verb is what changes it.
Like DeMontis Sabonis played like ass yesterday.
Yes.
That's bad.
Okay. I'm saying when you throw unwashed in front of it, there's no question what we're talking about.
Yeah, this is a lot of work, though.
When you throw unwashed in front of it, there's no question what
we're
talking about.
Brother, we all had an understanding, and you came in here like, hey, I don't know.
All I'm saying is
creating solutions to problems that don't exist.
Yeah.
What record still plays every day? Back that ass up.
I was going to say not like us, but.
Well, that record plays a whole lot more than once a day.
Back That Ass Up does still play a lot.
All the time.
It's a great song.
And it still goes hard.
It's a great song.
Still goes hard. It's.
Would you say that song's ass?
It's ass.
No, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It sounds like a diss every time.
Hey.
We're too deep down the rabbit hole of ass being bad.
You told me I was ass today. I was like, oh, damn, maybe I wasn't that good. I was like, no, you're doing the right.
I knew what you were doing. Yeah. My initial thing was like, hey.
I know. I almost took off my headphones and walked out.
See? Well, at least you didn't take a nap like Kyle did when I mentioned Vlade. Yeah.
But you're right, because in the Sam Amick, Anthony Slater article, mm-hmm. my close personal friend Anthony Slater.
Great guy.
they mention in there on purpose, Vlade is still around and he has influence, but he doesn't have a formal role.
Means he's not getting that paycheck.
That line is exactly what you're saying, and I did not read it like that until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that meant.
Which is arguably the most dangerous position he can have.
They're getting, they are.
Because he doesn't have any accountability in that position.
Exactly.
And that's like, this is where, and we have tried to stall out Vivek so many times.
Mm-hmm.
This is his biggest problem. He can't make a decision.
He doesn't trust the dudes that he hires.
He doesn't trust himself.
Right.
He does not trust himself to make a decision and stand by it. Whether it's Vlade in his original form or Joe Dumars later, there is always someone lurking in an informal capacity who seems to have influence on this organization.
Yep.
And again, for like the second time in his 13-year tenure as the owner, it is Vlade Divac. Vlade Divac, I think his first time around, had an actual position. Now he's in a more dangerous position, as we just mentioned, because he has no accountability. Because the role is completely like, oh, it's informal. Which means he can't get fired.
It goes wrong. He's just like...
Pretty much.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Damn, that's crazy.
That's ass, dog. That's wild.
You said that's ass.
See? See? But that. No, it could have been that's great. You don't know.
No, it still sounds worse. Ass.
See?
Well, worse.
I was going to ask what you guys have coming up.
It's more, this. Like, I mean, there was...
4 hours of electricity.
We're here. We got phones. Jake Gaden. I didn't even know the Jake Gaden story until you told it. That's amazing. I did not hear that story until you told it. And then... I know Matt George has gotten plenty of things to say, so he'll be with us at 3. So
it's Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that. The days of the week are wild.
Before I stopped to get, because it's Donut Friday on a Thursday.
Yes.
Before I stopped to get, I forgot your guys' donuts that you like with the special things on top.
That's even.
Sounded worse.
It was. You could have just said the one with nuts and it would have been.
Well, no, it's worse when the lady goes, hey, can we get one with the nuts? That was worse.
That was a bad beat for me.
That was tough.
I had to check to make sure. I was like, is this Thursday? It's definitely Thursday, right?
This is why I'm so happy.
I checked too.
This is why I'm so happy the season is over. Like, get this. Just end it. I'm just so happy this is over.
All right. Casey's here. That means we got to go.
Yeah.
We're getting kicked out.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, 10 a.m., the Insiders. James Hamm will be back. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's Joe Brazil. 10 a.m., the Insiders. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube, ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water, be nice to people. See you.